Today's Daily Torah is sponsored by Mrs. Vider in honor of a very special young man from York, Pennsylvania, by the name of Gilad Ben-Irit Goldman, who is today becoming bar mitzvah after being very excited and anxious to do the mitzvah tefillin for a long time. May Hashem grant him success in life always. So my wife was successful again this past Sunday and got me to sit down and re-watch one of my all-time favorite children's movies. My wife loves all things relating to children, whether it's books, movies. She says they're the deepest, and that says something about her soul, and it's probably true. As the Lubavitch Rebbe would always say, we have to pray to God like babies, like pray to God like little children. So she got me to watch a movie that I know when I was a little boy was one of my favorite movies. Obviously, it's about a boy that loves books more than sports. What could be better? It's a movie called The Neverending Story. I certainly enjoyed it as a kid, but this time watching it as an adult is a completely different experience, and I realize the depth of what the movie is saying. And I don't want to give away the punchline for those that haven't seen it yet, but the bottom line of the movie is that a work of art, a story, a book, a musical piece, any work of art is never ending when you realize that it's talking about you, that it's talking to you. The never-ending story is about, essentially, as we go through life, whatever we experience, we have a choice to know if it's a never-ending story, if it is talking to us or not. In my personal opinion, although there are greater philosophers than myself, such as what Kierkegaard writes about Mozart, artistic expression that doesn't nourish the soul somehow is a waste, is a shame. Which is, I think, in my opinion, why reality television is so scary and soulless. But the bottom line of this movie is that a book could only be never-ending and real. A story, all of our lives, whatever happens to us in life is never-ending if we take it personally. If we realize that it's up to us and that it's talking to us, and we only will know and hear that if we know that it's up to us. And Sunday evening, as I was contemplating this punchline for the movie and realizing just how deep of a mushel, how great of a parable it is for the way that we're supposed to look at Torah as the ultimate never-ending story. And as I was contemplating this, I saw on the side a book called Derech HaMelech from the Holy Piazetzner Rebbe, the teachings of the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, or Plotinus Kamen Shapiro. But his Sefer Derech HaMelech is the teachings that he's taught before World War II. And I had put that book on the side on Friday that I wanted to look at something from that sefer, from that book. And I opened up, right away to the following idea just about an hour after finishing watching The Neverending Story. The Holy Piazetzner Rebbe said, we know that the Zohar, the Kabbalah, teaches that essentially the reward of the world to come, what we're all quote-unquote waiting for of eternal bliss, whether after death or Mashiach comes, is essentially having the ultimate pleasure and bliss, which is from a revelation of God's light. And therefore the Kabbalah teaches that even now, as we're alive in our circumstances now, we have to taste that. We have to taste the taste of the secrets of Torah. Meaning to have the experiential, eternal, existential bliss of actually unifying and consummating with God in the future necessitates now tasting the secrets of Torah. That's from the Kabbalah. But the Piazetzner Rebbe explained, what does it mean, the secrets of Torah? What does the Zohar mean that we have to taste from the secrets of Torah? Does it just mean the Kabbalistic ideas and divine names and angels' names and all these divine kavanot of the Arizal? Does it just mean these deep Kabbalistic ideas that are written in books? Says the Piazetzner, can't be, because those aren't secrets anymore. They're already written and published in books. That might be the Kabbalah within the world of Torah. It's the secret part of Torah, so to speak. But that's not the secrets of Torah, because it's revealed. The Piazetzner Rebbe said, you know what the secret of Torah is? Finding yourself, your own soul, in the words of Torah. You see, Shulchan Aruch, Halacha, Judaism, Torah teaches us how, with our bodies to serve God, with our mouths, we put on tefillin with our hands, what we could do in our day-to-day life. But there's one thing that Shulchan Aruch and all the Jewish books in the world can never do. And you know what that is? You making the Torah into your never-ending story. that no book could ever help you. You have to feel God in the words of the sitter. It doesn't matter whether you understand them or not. It might be like almost like a theater performance for you sometimes, but that's, you could still tap into the secrets of Torah. The secret of Torah is that you're feeling that you're connecting literally with God as you're saying these words, as you're doing the mitzvah. There are days that you'll put your tefillin on and you're not going to feel anything. But the secret of Torah is to feel your soul in that anyway, to know even though you're not inspired and in your conscious self, nothing's happening, but in the secret of who you are, in the deepest soul of who you are becoming one with God, and our ability to feel that in our life is the secrets of Torah, the never-ending story of Torah. And I believe very much that that relates to this week's Parsha. Because, you know, some of the most basic humanistic principles of Western civilization that come from Mosaic tradition, from our Torah, is in this week's Parsha, how the biblical times were told in this week's Parsha to give back lost objects, Hashavas Aveda, for instance. We have to give back objects that was lost by somebody. Now, no code of law in ancient times ever said such a thing. Not just not to damage somebody, but you have to actually give back their lost objects. And the Gemara goes on and on that actually if you find somebody's lost object, you have to take care of it. If it's an animal, you have to feed it. If it's a garment, you have to clean it once in a while. And we have other things in this parasha, like if a person's burden fell, you have to help them up with it. These humanistic principles of going beyond the letter of the law that we find in this week's parasha, where does such a thing come from? Back in biblical times, how does God expect us even today to look at other people that we might not even know or not even particularly like, and yet help them because of the fact that they're other people? And I believe very much that's only if you learn the secrets of Torah. We all know there are different types of Jews, but you could always tell those Jews that are learning secrets of Torah, the way the Piazetzna was talking about. Those Jews that take Torah personally, that when you experience anything in life, you feel it's God talking to you. It's God giving you another way to save the fantasia of Judaism, the beautiful fantasy, not fantasy as if it's it's not real, but the ultimate truth of Torah, that we have to save that universe of Torah through our acts of how we act with other people and seemingly mundane things. That makes the never-ending story eternal, completely never-ending, which is what Torah is always supposed to be.